Well, life can be a bit chaotic, can't it? Things can seem out of control. Earlier this year, I went with my family on long service leave, and I was down south, and I went for a bike ride with a friend. We were going down a steep, sweeping corner, and my bike got the speed wobbles. The whole bike was shaking, and it just felt like at any moment the bike would just fall out from underneath me. I felt completely out of control. The road, it was very coarse bitumen. And I thought, hospital, here I come. That's what was going through my head. And that was certainly not part of my long service leave plans. I put on the brakes as much as I was willing, but I started drifting to the right. I was going so fast, I was too afraid to brake harder. I thought the bike would just started drifting to the right. I kept drifting until I was off the road. I hit the gravel ditch on the edge of the road, and I stayed upright for about 30, maybe 50 metres before I went sailing over the handlebars. The bike came down crashing on top of me, and by God's grace, I landed in a nice soft bush.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, all I ended up with was just a few minor scratches. 2 metres to the left was a clump of trees. 2 metres to the right was a horrible prickle bush. If I hit either of them, it would have done some serious damage. Got back on my bike, kept riding, went down the next hill, sweeping bend, got the speed wobbles again. It makes me nervous even thinking about it. This time I managed to brake and stop. I came through relatively unscathed, but it's done my head in. I now feel anxious riding down hills. Even watching the Tour de France this year, I was watching it, and as they do the descent, I was like, my stomach was in knots because I thought, if they crash, that is not like, ugh. It didn't just affect my bike riding, it affected my driving. We were towing a trailer. Every time we went downhill around a sweeping corner, I was like, are we gonna slip off the road? It made me fear. In this life, we can experience all kinds of fears, can't we? Times when it seems that chaos is in control. Chaos is ruling. We feel out of control, and trajectory, it's not what we desire. What does God offer us? What does God offer us in the face of our fears? Well, from Mark 4, 35 to 41, we're going to see that Jesus is the chaos conqueror. Jesus is the chaos conqueror. We're going to look at it in three parts. Jesus is confronted by chaos. Jesus conquers chaos. And so we can trust in Jesus when we fear. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can think about your word now. Please grow our understanding of you and the difference it makes knowing you for our lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, firstly, let's look at Jesus is confronted by the chaos. Immediately before our passage today, in chapter 4, verses 1 to 34, we've read how Jesus has been teaching in parables about the kingdom of God. And then in verse 35 and 36, we're told that he calls it a day and he set off with his disciples across the lake in a boat. The boat, it probably wasn't similar to one that was dug up in 1986 from Lake Galilee. 8.2 metres long, 2.3 metres wide, the 1.3 metres to the side of the boat. As you drove into Padbury Place, there's a house on the... Well, as you drive out, you'll be able to see it. There's a house on the left-hand corner. There's a big red boat there. Probably about that size. Wouldn't have had a cabin like that one's got, but that kind of gives you a feel for what size this boat would have been. Have a look at verse 37. It says, a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Lake Galilee is surrounded on three, almost four sides by mountains. It's only where the Jordan River comes out in the south that there's not mountains. And when the wind comes from a southwesterly direction, it swirls around inside the mountains and it creates big storms on the lake. And it's one of these storms that confronted Jesus and his disciples. Here's a painter's impression. I reckon, oh, that's not too bad. That's not something I'd like to be caught up in. Yeah. Now, at one level, this storm was an everyday event. Like, this wasn't uncommon. But in another sense, it wasn't an everyday event. Because in the Bible, the seas, they are symbolic of chaos. They're an unpredictable and destructive force. And so what we see here is we see unpredictable, destructive chaos and Jesus. There's a cosmic confrontation that's happening here. Jesus versus chaos. How did the disciples deal with this? Well, at least four of them in the boat, they were experienced fishermen. They knew the lake, they knew boats, they knew the weather, and yet this storm was so great they were overwhelmed. The boat was almost swamped. They were fearing for their lives. That's the disciples. What about Jesus? Well, have a look at verse 38. It says he was asleep on a cushion in the back of the boat. Yeah? Was it that Jesus had just been praying so hard and preaching so hard that he was just worn out? That it didn't matter what went on around him, that he was out of it? No, I don't think so. I think from the rest of Mark's gospel and the other gospels, what we see is Jesus is always aware of what's going on around him. So in chapter 5, there's a bleeding woman. Jesus is in a crowd. He's being bustled. People are, you know, rubbing up against him. And there's a woman who has been bleeding for 10 years. And she reaches out and she touches his cloak. And she gets healed. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" How could Jesus know when there's so many people touching him that there was somebody that touched him and got healed? Why did he ask the question? Not because he didn't know, but because he wanted his disciples to know that he knew. Back in chapter 2, verse 8, Jesus, he's with some of the teachers of the law, and we're told that he knew what they said before they even spoke. Knew what they were thinking before they even spoke. Jesus has got divine insight. And so here Jesus is in the boat, asleep, but we're not meant to think he's asleep because he's unaware. What we see is a contrast between the disciples and Jesus. Jesus was fully awake. Sometimes things like happen in our lives that shake us up, don't they? We might just go to the doctor for what we think is just a routine checkup, and then we have a few tests done, and the diagnosis is not at all what we're expecting. Maybe it's a heart condition. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's pneumonia. We make investments, take our hard-earned money, and we entrust them to somebody, maybe a bank, maybe a friend, maybe a family member. We expect a positive return. But instead of ending up thousands in front, we end up thousands behind. We have relationships with people, and sometimes they turn out for the worst, don't they? We hope for love. We hope for joy. But instead we get abuse. We suffer. Our kids or grandkids, sometimes they make really dumb choices. They get into debt over their heads. They start mixing with a bad crowd. They're not diligent in their work or their study. They do things which negatively impact them. Sometimes it's just short term, but sometimes it's their whole life. Wars break out, don't they? World military spending, it being at an all-time high than it is at the moment, it doesn't bode well for the future, does it? These sorts of things, they can make us feel out of control, as if chaos is reigning. And it leads to fear. Fear about our future. Fear about the future of those that we love. Because let's face it, sickness, financial struggle, relational strains, wars and their like, they're not our hopes and dreams, are they? Unless you're a bloke, that is. Because us blokes, we don't fear anything. We just pull our socks up and get on with life. Does anyone know any blokes like that? No, me either. We all worry, we all fret about some things, don't we? Some of us more than others, some of us about different things than others. When we're experiencing this, sometimes we're tempted to think, God, where are you? Have you been caught by surprise, God? God doesn't hear the doctor's diagnosis and scratch his head thinking, oh, never saw that one coming. When our finances tumble, God's not startled. God's not like, oh, whoops, the market was meant to go up, but for some reason it's gone down. I've got that one wrong. When the relationship turns sour, or our grandchildren or children, they act unwisely, God's not blindsided. When wars break out, it doesn't take God by surprise. We get caught unaware, don't we? God doesn't. He never is. When something shakes us up, we're like the disciples in the boat here. But God isn't. He's in the boat. He's aware. He's unrattled. We might ask then, well, God, you're good. God, you say you're loving. If you're never surprised, if you always know what's going on, why do you let terrible things happen to your children? To people who love you and serve? Why do you let that happen, God? Why do you let our dreams turn into nightmares? God, do you actually care? This is the disciples' question. Verse 38, storm shaken, fearing death, they woke Jesus. Have a look there. What do they ask? Teacher, don't you care if we drown? I'm not sure exactly what they expected of Jesus here. I mean, this is the first time in Mark's gospel that we're told they call him teacher. So perhaps they were looking for some words of kind of wisdom, something that would calm them. I don't know. Perhaps they were hoping for some insight into the future that would provide reassurance. I'm not sure. But what Jesus did next is not what they expected. Confronted by chaos, Jesus conquers it. He awoke, he rose, and he spoke, but not to the disciples first. He addressed the winds and the waves. Quiet, he said, be still. Have you ever tried that? You know, we had a cyclone earlier this year, Cyclone Ilsa, that hit Pardew Station, Category 5, winds, excess of 250 k's an hour, fastest winds ever to hit Australia, recorded. Did you ever consider for a moment jumping in your car, driving out to Pardew and standing in the wind and saying, be still? No. That's ridiculous, isn't it? The wind, it's not going to hear us. It doesn't matter how loud you yell at it. It's like yelling at a deaf person. The words might go out, but there'll be no effect. But the wind, it's not just deaf. The wind is not alive. Speaking to it makes no difference, no matter how loud we shout. For us. But with Jesus, it's different. See, when he rebuked the winds and the waves here, what happened? Have a look at verse 39 again. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus commands the wind and the waves, and they obey him. The unpredictable, uncontrollable, chaotic forces, they are suddenly and completely and utterly conquered. It was entirely calm. No wind, no waves, only stillness. This is like something out of a movie, isn't it? Yes, studio special effects, almost unbelievable. You kind of read this and think, surely this is just a fairy tale. Did you notice in verse 36 that Mark mentioned there were other boats with them? It almost seems just a throwaway remark. Why would Mark say that? So that people who read or heard this account, they could go to Lake Galilee and they could say, "Hey, where are some of these people who were there on the day who experienced this? Did this really happen?" I mean, we can't do that now. But they could have. And if they found no one who could verify it happened, you'd just rip that it would be a fairy tale, wouldn't it? Word would have got around. It's a joke. It's a hoax. But it didn't. This is not a fictional account. This is for real. The disciples, they questioned whether or not Jesus really cared about them. And Jesus showed indisputably that he did. He delivered them from the clutches of death. What about us? Does God care when we're confronted with a future that we don't desire? Yes, he does. That doesn't mean that he will immediately deliver us from it like he did the disciples. The health problem may never heal. The wealth problem, it might be lifelong. The relationship may fail irreconcilably. Our children or grandchildren, they may face lifelong struggles. Current wars may continue, future wars may start. But whatever we experience, God assures us in his word that he allows it for our good. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." See, ultimately, this verse is about God using everything that happens in our lives to ensure our eternal inheritance, that when we die, we'll get to go to be with him forever in the new creation. But as part of that, we see that God uses all the struggles and the trials that we face in this life to help us keep our eye on that prize. So we don't fall so in love with the world that we fall out of love with God. To reassure us that nothing in this life, no matter how terrible or powerful, it cannot separate us from God's love. He loves us. He loves us more than we can comprehend now and into the life to come. Why don't parents always bail out their children? Because they don't want them to remain children forever. Yeah? They want their kids to grow up. They want their kids to mature. And it's the same with God. Because he loves us, he wants us to mature. So he doesn't always bail us out. In Australia, comfort is king. Anything that threatens that terrifies us. But there are much bigger stakes than present comfort in this life. You know, God's sovereign love, it's not always easy to grasp. We can read about it in the Bible and go, well, that's what God says. But our fears can be overwhelming, can't they? So what do we do? What do we do when we're feeling afraid? Well, what does Jesus say to his disciples? The answer to fear is faith. To trust in Jesus when we fear. See, after calming the storm, what did Jesus say to his disciples in verse 40? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, at this stage, the disciples, they considered Jesus to be a teacher. They'd seen him do lots of miracles, casting out demons. So they might have thought, actually, there's more to this guy than just being a teacher. But they didn't really understand yet. It was about 12 months later that Peter, for the first time, said, Jesus, you are the Messiah, God's promised King, come to rescue his people. But here, what Jesus does with this storm, it reveals he's much more than just a teacher. The Old Testament says there's only one being who controls the weather. Psalm 89, verses 8 to 9, it says, O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. Couple other passages there in Job and Job 38, Psalm 65, Psalm 107, they say the same thing. God alone rules the wind and the seas. He controls them. He subdues them. See, in Jesus doing this, he's played his hand. Jesus is God in the flesh. But the disciples, they don't get this. Jesus' actions, they so overwhelmed them that they weren't just afraid, we're told. Their fear goes to a whole new level. They were terrified, verse 41 says. And this kind of makes sense. I'm going to talk very briefly about it in the kids' spot there. But if somebody held a loaded gun to your head, that would induce fear, wouldn't it? Yeah? What about a nuclear missile? Yeah? Like, people survive gunshot wounds. Even to the head sometimes. Weird stuff happens. It misses the vital parts, yeah? People don't survive nuclear bombs. If it lands here at your feet, it'll go off 100 metres up in the air. But anyway, you're not going to survive. This is like what the disciples fear. They were afraid in the storm for their lives, but in Jesus, they were confronted by a power that was far greater. And they were terrified. And so they turned to each other and they said, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They hadn't quite connected the dots yet. And so when they saw Jesus' power, they were terrified. But Jesus says, they shouldn't be afraid. They should trust him. Because when God is with us, we shouldn't fear anything. When God is with us, we shouldn't fear anything. And Jesus is God in the flesh. See, the answer to our fears is faith in God. Trust in Jesus, knowing that he's with us by his Spirit. So everything will be okay. You know, that okay might not quite look like the okay we would like. Not in this life. But it will ultimately be okay in the life to come. Many people, their greatest fear is death. But trusting Jesus is the answer even to death. He's dealt with it. In his death and his resurrection, Jesus has opened the gate to eternal life where death is no more. If we trust in Jesus, we have nothing to fear from death. He'll carry us safely from this life to the next. And life in the new creation, I mean, life in Port Hedland is pretty good. It's not going to compare. We'll not even come close to life in the new creation. There'll be no more sin. No more pain, no more suffering, no more relational turmoil, no more death. The best that we've experienced in this life will be but a pale shadow compared to what life will be in the new creation with Jesus. And best of all, we'll get to see Jesus face to face. When we struggle with health or wealth or relationships or the threat of war, let's trust in Jesus because he's God. No matter what happens, we can be rest assured that he will use those struggles for our good. And no power in the universe can change that. When it appears that chaos is reigning in whatever form we're feeling overwhelmed with fear, let's not give in. Let's trust in Jesus, the chaos conqueror. He conquered the chaos of the storm, and when he returns, he will confine chaos to history. We all have fears, don't we? I mean, sitting here right now, I'm standing here, we've got fears right now. What are they? Let's all just take a moment to bring our fears to God, to ask him for assurance that in his sovereign loving care, he uses our struggles, our fears, he uses them for our good. And knowing this, let's ask him to help us to trust him through them. It's going to take a moment, just 1 minute, for us all just to think about that, talk to God about it. Let's do it. Sovereign Grace Music, they've got this song that's based on Psalm 46, be still my soul. It reminds us of God's sovereign loving hand upon us amidst our struggles and fears, and it calls us to be still my soul, to trust in God and not give in to fear. We haven't sung together before, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play it right through. That'll give you a chance to listen to the tune, listen to all the words, and then we'll stand together and sing.